Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com.
Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. How do we know that Christ, his death on the cross, was sufficient to pay for our sin? How do we know that? What are the grounds of assurance and hope and triumph and victory and joy? How do we know that our resurrection is sure? What's the grounds for that hope, that victory, that triumph? And the very proof that Christ's death is sufficient to pay for all of our sins, and the proof that our resurrection is sure, the grounds for that hope and the grounds for that victory and that assurance and that joy is founded only in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That the Son of God did die, but he did not just die. He rose again. So what is the grounds of the assurance of our forgiveness of sins and our future resurrection? It is that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for every sin. And yea, rather, more than that, he was raised from the grave in victory over sin, death, and the grave. Christ has died and Christ has risen. And we will look today at two realities that the resurrection proves. The first reality is that the resurrection, Christ's resurrection, proves his death is sufficient. And the second reality is Christ's resurrection proves our resurrection is sure. Christ's death is sufficient and our resurrection is sure. That is what the resurrection proves. Let's look at that first reality, that Christ's resurrection proves his death is sufficient. Verse 34, Paul writes here to the epistle to the Romans. He starts off with a question in verse 34. Who is to condemn? Who is to bring a charge? Who is to convict? Who is to sentence? Who is to judge? And he answers that question. It is Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised. Now in Romans 8, before he gets to this question on who is to condemn, he starts Romans 8, which is perhaps one of the greatest chapters we find in the book of in the Bible, and one of the greatest verses we see that leads into this great chapter is Romans 8:1. How does he start off Romans 8:1? He says, "There is now therefore no condemnation." No condemnation, zero condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And so he says that wonderful truth that there is no condemnation for anyone and everyone in Jesus Christ. And then for the rest of Romans 8, he goes on to explain how there is no condemnation. How we are justified by the work of Christ, meaning that we are declared innocent. We are declared righteous because of what Christ has done at the cross. He has died a sin-atoning, vicarious death on the cross for sinners. And because he died and because he rose, there is now no condemnation for us. And so he starts to build his argument and build his case. And he does so in verse 31 as he starts to ask these rhetorical questions. So in verse 31, at the beginning of this kind of passage and start of his argument, he says, "What shall we say to these things?" What things is he talking about? The fact that Jesus Christ has justified us, that we've been predestined and called and justified and one day will be glorified. He says, "What shall we say to these things?" Then he answers the rhetorical question. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you. If God has, in verse 32, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That if that God who spoke everything into existence out of nothing, if he did not even spare his own son so that you could be justified before him, who could ever bring a charge against you? Who could ever condemn you? He says in verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? And he says, it is God who justifies. And we know that we are justified, declared innocent, and reckoned righteous because of the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying on the cross and dying in the place of ruined sinners. That is how we are justified. We are justified, declared innocent, by faith alone, in Christ alone. So he says, if you're justified, if you're in Christ, who can condemn you? Who can bring a charge against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody, nothing, no one. And so he starts verse 34 with this question as he's building his case about how those that are justified in Jesus Christ now have no condemnation on them. So he says, who is to condemn? Who's to condemn the people of God? Who is to bring a charge against God's elect? Who's to judge and condemn the people of God? That is what he's asking, meaning that word condemn means convict, to sentence, to doom. He is saying, who has the right to sentence you, to doom you, to convict you when God has declared you innocent? When God has justified you? If God has said it, then no one, anybody who brings a charge is just found in contempt. There's no charge that can be brought. There's no condemnation that can be brought to those in Christ Jesus. The obvious answer to the rhetorical questions is, nobody. No one can bring a charge. No one can condemn because it is God who justifies through his son. It is God who reckons people righteous through his son because it is his son who became sin, who had no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God and justified, declared innocent, and have our sins washed away through Jesus Christ. He is the one who died. Who is to condemn? He asked the guy, who's to condemn? Christ Jesus died. And why did he die? Let's be very clear. Why did Christ die? It's because God is holy. God is just. God has a standard, a rule, a law. And we, as sinners, have broken God's standard. We have broken God's law. We have broken God's rule. And when there's a law, there's a right condemnation. There's a right conviction. There's a right sentencing that must take place to those that break the law. And because God is holy and just and he does not approve of evil, what happens when you break God's law? You must be sentenced. You must be convicted. You must be condemned. And so now we are sinners condemned under the law of God. So how are we to answer these charges? How are we to be declared innocent in the courtroom of God? How can we stand before this God? Because we have broken his law. And he's a just judge. He will not overlook sin. The very charges that we have because we broke God's law, they're against us. So why did Jesus die? Because God did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. So why can we not be condemned? It's because Jesus answered the charges that stood against us. The condemnation that was due to our law breaking, Jesus Christ steps in. And on the cross, what he is doing is he is taking the condemnation we deserve for our sin. He's taking on the punishment, the wrath of God. He is taking on everything we deserve for transgressing God's law due to God's righteous law and the sentencing we deserve. Christ stands in the stead of ruined and damned sinners, taking on the punishment, the condemnation, and the wrath of God due for our sin. We have charges laid against us. We are guilty for breaking God's law. And so who can answer these charges? Can we answer them in our own stead? No, we will be found guilty by God. There must be one to stand in our place that's never broken the law, that there is no condemnation on. And that is what Christ Jesus does. He stands in our stead. And at the cross, he takes on our condemnation. He cancels the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, and he set them aside by nailing them to the cross. Christ answered the charges that stood against us. God has justified us. God has declared us innocent. All our sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ. It was punished in him. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He has taken our place. But now the question is, if you're thoughtful and you're thinking about this, could Christ actually do that? Did he actually pay for my sin? Is he able? Does he have the power? Does he have the strength to actually stand in my place? How do we know that God accepts his work in my place? How do we know that I can actually trust in his work at the cross, that he is taking on my punishment? How do we know that's acceptable for me? How do we know that's acceptable? How do we know that it's sufficient?
Amen.
Who is to condemn? Christ died. More than that, he was raised.
That's right.
He was raised. So was his death actually sufficient? If his death was insufficient and didn't pay the sum total our sins deserve, Christ would never have raised. He would have stayed dead.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people died on the cross. A lot of people were crucified. There's only one who is the Son of God who died and rose again.
That's right.
And so he was raised, Romans 4 tells us he was raised again, Romans 4, 25. He was raised again for what? Our justification. He was raised for our justification. So his death on the cross is not inseparable. It's never inseparable from his resurrection. They're tied together. You can't preach Christ crucified without preaching him resurrected. They stand and fall together because if Christ died but he wasn't resurrected, his death wasn't sufficient to cover sins. But thanks be to God, he did die and he did rise again. See, the resurrection is God's proclamation that he accepts the work of Christ on the behalf of sinners. The resurrection is God's promise to say he has paid it all. It is sufficient. He has conquered sin, death, and the grave, and he has burst the bands of death, and he lives and reigns forever. See, there is no justification apart from the risen and living Jesus Christ. His resurrection is proof that his death took. In other words, the resurrection is God's way of proclaiming that his work, the work of his Son, is sufficient to pay for every sin. If Christ had died and stayed dead, there would be no assurance. There would be no joy. There would be no hope. There would be no victory. Would there be any hope if Christ is still dead? Would there be any triumph or victory over the grave if Christ was still dead? The resurrection confirms the glorious fact that there is no condemnation and God accepts the sufficient sacrifice of Christ on the behalf of all that would believe. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if there was no resurrection, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, your faith is in vain. If Christ had not been raised, we would still be in our sin. But because Christ raised from the grave, God says his death is sufficient and I accept it. It's pleasing to me. The resurrection is God saying, I am satisfied in the death of my Son to pay for every sin. You cannot have the meaning of his death apart from the reality of his resurrection. And it is Christ and him alone that God accepts payment for the punishment I deserve. So who can condemn me? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Christ died, and he rose again. The resurrection proves there is no condemnation. No one will ever bring a charge against you that will stick. So we have two options. There's two options that everybody is faced with. If what I've said is true, since what I've said is true, Christ has died as a vicarious sin-atoning substitute for sin and for sinners, and God accepts that payment, and he validates and authenticates Christ's work and says he accepts the payment through his resurrection. That means there's only two options for people. You can either be found in Christ by faith. And being found in Christ by faith, that means there is now no condemnation for those, because why? Christ took your condemnation. Or the second option is you can be outside of Christ by faith, and you will be punished for all your sin by God, who is holy, just, and eternal. He will punish all those that are outside of Christ. He will punish them in hell forever. But there's only two options. You're either pardoned in Christ or punished outside of him. That's it. There's not this third option that so many people live under the burden of. The third option, and it's probably for some of you, you live life like this. You have professed Christ. You're trusting in him. And yet you think there is some sin that hasn't been paid for yet. Look, God doesn't punish sin twice. It would make him unjust to punish sin twice. If I made the same payment twice on my mortgage, that would be unjust. He only punishes sin once. God has already pronounced the verdict for all those that are in Christ. And the verdict is not guilty. The verdict is innocent. And he's already pronounced the judgment and verdict for all those that are outside of Christ, that those that will not believe are condemned already. But the one option that does not exist is being in Christ and feeling like you've got some sins to pay for. That's the one option that does not exist. It's not like there's some angel in heaven looking through the files of your life, and they're going to come across some sin 20 years ago and be like, oh, Jesus didn't pay for that one, and bring a charge against you. No, Jesus paid for all your past sin, all your present sin, and he's paid for all your future sin. Lay hold of this by faith. There is no uncertainty that if you are in Christ, the certain reality is there is no condemnation for you, because Jesus Christ has paid it all. From the smallest sin to the most egregious sin, there is not a single sin hanging over your head that you think Jesus didn't pay for. There's no condemnation. Because Christ has died and risen again. His death is sufficient. The resurrection of Christ is God's confirmation and acceptance that it fully paid for your sin. We don't sing songs like Jesus paid it some. That's right. We sing songs, Jesus paid it all.
That's right.
There's no condemnation. There's no one that can bring a charge. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because it is God who justifies. It is that God who did not even spare his own son, but willingly gave you all things. It's not like he overlooked or missed one of your sins. All your sins have been dealt with by Jesus Christ. That's what's happening on the cross, is God is dealing with your sin. It's not trying to be good and outweigh the bad. It's not trying to turn over a new leaf. No, it's looking to Christ by faith and saying, he has dealt with every one of my sins forever and once and for all. Even your own conscience cannot bring a charge against you. Because the full weight of your sin, Christ bore. He took the full punishment. It's been paid in full. So stop looking to yourself. Stop looking even to how sinful you are, and look how utterly sufficient Christ is for you. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There is no condemnation because Christ died and he rose again. So are you in Christ? Yes or no, right? That's all the answer. You can answer that in your heart and in your mind. Are you in Christ? Are you trusting in the sufficient work of Christ? If you are, then there is no condemnation for you. There's none. No enemy in hell, no angel in heaven, no family, no friend, no past sin, no future sin, not your conscience, not the devil himself can bring a charge against you that will stick in the courtroom of God. Because Christ is in heaven as our advocate and our intercessor and our atonement and our representative and our high priest and our sacrifice and our substitute. It is God who justifies. So the resurrection of Christ proves that Christ's death is sufficient, yet it also proves another reality. It proves that our resurrection is sure. Look at verse 34 again. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. As Christ is raised, we know that we too shall be raised. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, where Christ is now seated in the heavens. We are seated with him, we are raised with him, we are buried with him. God treats his people like he treats Christ. And Christ is in heaven interceding at the right hand of the Father. And we one day will be there with him if you are in Christ. That's what the Bible says of the resurrection. What Christ has done by dying and raising again is simply a preview of what is to come for those that are in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, again, verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man also comes the resurrection of the dead. Christ's resurrection is our first fruits. That theme is found throughout the Old Testament, particularly in Leviticus 23, where they would have harvest season. They would collect the harvest, and they would collect what came first in that harvest season, and they would collect the very first fruits, and they would bring it in for a tithe. And the reason they would do this is because what they were saying and symbolizing is there's more to come. There's more fruit. There's more harvest to come. That was the first fruit offering. Christ is our first fruit because there's more resurrection to come. And the resurrection that is to come are those that are in faith, in him by faith, that we will rise because he has risen. We will one day see him like he is and be like him. We, our lowly bodies will be transformed into glorious bodies like his. He is the first fruits. And because Christ has died and he's risen again, we can be sure that in him and union with him, our resurrection is sure as well. Christ has defeated what the Bible calls the last enemy, which is death. Christ has defeated it. He's burst the bands of death. Death has conquered everyone save Jesus. Death itself couldn't even hold Jesus. No matter how mighty you are, how strong you think you are, no matter how many resources you have, death will take you down. Death is coming, and we're closer to your death now than we were at the beginning of this service. Death is coming. And you have no surety that you will spend forever in eternal blessedness with God unless you are in Christ. And because Christ is our first fruits, he's defeated the last enemy, death. But even though if I am in Christ, because he is the resurrection and the life, even though I die, yet shall I live. Do you believe this? This eternal life is the inheritance of every child of God. That God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and fadeth not, kept in heaven for us by the power of God. This is our first fruits. We look at Christ, and because he was raised from the dead, we know we surely shall be too. Though we die, yet shall we live, because Christ has burst the bands of death and rose triumphant over the grave. Christ stands in victory over the last enemy, death. And he has risen, and we too shall rise. And so now he looks down from heaven at the right hand of God, interceding for his people, saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, because I've gone to prepare a place for you. He says, I will come again and take you to myself, that you may be where I am also. That's the great victory. That's the great blessing and benefit of placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Is not only are your sins forgiven and his death is sufficient, but then you inherit eternal life because he was raised. You will be raised like him. See, Christianity is about joy. It's about hope. It's about triumph. Christianity is about victory. Christ is victorious. Christ has conquered sin. Christ has conquered death. Christ has conquered the grave. We, as the people of God, have a joy unspeakable, a hope of glory, victory over sin, triumph over the grave. See, Christianity is all about good news. It's all about joyous news. The message of Christianity is a message of resurrection. He's made dead hearts alive. He's resurrected my sinful heart. And then one day when this body gives way to death, he will raise me from the grave. Because Christ, he has the power to do so, the ability to do so. And we are sure of it because he's already raised Christ, who is our first fruits. We have victory and triumph, joy and hope. But unfortunately, for many people who even profess the name of Christ, they do not live with a sense of joy and victory and hope and triumph. And some of you may be visiting here on an Easter morning, and you're coming, and we're glad that you're here, but you may be coming because you're just simply like kind of checking a box. Like, I went to church on Easter. I got it. And you may have this misconception as well that Christianity is just a bunch of members of a church kind of painstakingly trying to make themselves Christian and better people. That as long as I, and you may even think this misconception that church, Christianity, is just going to church and avoiding sin. And then that all we do here is we spend our time mourning our sin, trying to do better and be better, and we just fail to do it. That's the travesty of many people. Is they think Christianity is nothing more than a bunch of moralisms. That the church is just made up of regretful and bemoaning people who have to give up stuff in this life and get very little back. Many people just believe the Christian life is living in fear and uncomfortably trying not to sin while regretting everything that you're missing out in the world. But that is not the picture of the Christian life. The Christian life is one of undeniable victory and hope and joy and triumph. I mean, it really is sad when people can hear about their sins being paid for by Christ and inheriting eternal life, living so melancholy. Like, we're, our sins are paid for. There's no condemnation.
Amen.
I'm going to be raised with Christ. So no matter what comes my way, no matter what my lot is in this life, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ.
That's right.
See, the picture of the Christian life is joy, it's victory, it's hope, it's triumph. I'm not saying things go well all the time, but we have this blessed assurance that whatever my lot, Christ has taught me to say, it is well. Because I have victory, I have assured victory that my sins are paid for and I will live forever with God. Yes, do we have to still live in this world? There's sickness, there's death, there's all sorts of tragedy. But it is in the resurrection of Christ. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor the things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Put whatever you want in there. Nothing will separate you. Nothing will keep you from getting to heaven with God. There's no sin that will rise up to condemn you. There's no person that can rise up and bring a charge against you that will stick. We have no fear over the grave. We can even stare in our grave and stare into it victoriously. To know even if they lower me one day, I will rise.
That's right.
You are more than a conqueror because Christ conquered sin, death, and the grave.
Amen.
He conquered them all. He conquered them for us. That is why we can say we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. No one can bring a charge. No one can condemn. No one can separate you from the love of God. That's the joy and triumph and victory of the Christian life. It's all yours in Christ. It's all yours. Forgiveness of sins, reconciliation to God, eternal life, new hearts, new loves, new motives, new life, eternal, all yours in Christ. All yours. Because He died and because He rose again. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in Him is mine. And in Him my living head and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. For all eternity, because Christ died and because He rose again, there's not one finger that can rise up and point at me and condemn me. There's not anyone that will say, bid the throne, bid away, go away from the throne of God, because Christ has paid for me. He rose for me, and I can be sure that my sins are paid for and I have eternal life. My resurrection is sure. Christ's death is sufficient, and we should rejoice in that. Now, everything I've said, I have assumed you are in Christ. I've preached it like you are the one in victory and living in joy and triumph. But there's no longer for that time. The question now is, are you in Christ? Are you sure your sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ? And are you sure you will inherit eternal life? If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for you, only eternal life. But if you are not in Jesus Christ, everything will rise up to condemn you. You have no hope. You have no joy. You have no victory. You only have judgment and condemnation and hell. And I'll say it very plainly. What I'm about to say is because I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to have to pay the punishment for your sin. I want you to be pardoned and free in Christ. So if you're here, since you're here, and we can assume that, I don't know what kind of church background some of you have. I don't know what if you've heard the gospel. I don't know any of that. But I do know I don't want you on that last day to hear God tell you, depart from me. I never knew you. There'll be no refuge on that last day. But today is not the last day. Today is today. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Behold, today is the acceptable time. You must flee to Christ. No morality, no religion, no doing better, no trying harder, no performance will ever make you right with God. You must simply believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You must transfer your trust away from yourself and turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in Christ alone, knowing that His death is sufficient to pay for your sins and that He rose again, and so that you in Christ will inherit eternal life, because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Christ died and He rose again. And if you are founded in Him by faith, you can be sure that your sins are paid for and there is no condemnation, and you can be sure that you will inherit eternal life. That God has loved you and demonstrated His love for you, that while you are yet a sinner, Christ died for you. So put away the notion that you're okay just because you showed up this morning. Put away the notion that you're okay just because you check the attendance box, even if you do it every Sunday. Put the notion away that there's anything in you that makes you commendable to God. The only thing in you makes you condemned by God. You must have Christ and Christ alone. The Son of God who loved you and gave himself up for you. So what you must do is look to Christ's death as a death for sin and for sinners, standing as a sacrifice and as a substitute. He's paying for your condemnation. That is what he's doing at the cross. He's paying for your sin. He's being punished for your sin. He's taking the punishment and wrath that you deserve from a holy God. He's bearing that in his body and carrying your sins far away from you. And you can know that he did that on the cross because he was buried and then God raised him from the dead. And then if you're founded in him, you shall be like him and inherit eternal life. So my question is what in the world is stopping you from trusting in Jesus Christ? You can have all your sins washed away, all your sins forgiven, no matter how egregious, no matter how vile, no matter how wicked. His death is sufficient to wipe away every sin and reconcile you back to God. Don't confuse yourself. Don't play games with yourself. This is a matter of eternity. It's a matter of life and death. It's the most important decision you'll make. So what is keeping you from actually trusting in Jesus Christ? Is it your own pride? Is it because you don't believe it actually will work or take? No, Christ raised from the dead. But what is keeping you from inheriting the blessings from God? It is a free gift of salvation to all that would believe. That God did not withhold his own son, but he sent him to die in your place and to rise again so that all that would call upon the name of the Lord and believe in their heart that Christ was raised from the dead shall be saved, shall have their sins forgiven, and shall inherit eternal life. So what is stopping you from doing that? Why wouldn't you do that? I'm pleading with you to do that. Put away everything that you think you know about what Christianity and church is to be and look to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, alone. Amen. Look to him by faith alone. The Son of God alone. By faith alone. His death, his resurrection, his life in your place. And whether that's the first time you've heard it or the millionth time you've heard it, it doesn't matter how many times you heard it. The question is, do you believe it? Do you trust in it? Because it's the best news you're ever going to hear. Think about it. A holy God who you've sinned against and broken his law and rebelled against his rule, the God that you hated, who has every right to punish you and cast your body into hell forever. He is so gracious and merciful that he sent his son to live in your place, to die in your place, and to be raised again in your place. And only by simple faith alone, all you know yourself to be, to all you know Christ to be, faith alone, you shall have your sins forgiven. And you shall inherit eternal life. He will not cast you out. He will receive you. So what is stopping you? Place your faith in Christ. If you don't know what that means, grab someone after service and grab me and we'll talk about what it means to trust in Jesus Christ truly. But what is stopping you from inheriting eternal life and having all your sins forgiven? What's stopping you from just simple faith, trusting in Christ and knowing that there is now no condemnation for you? And for those of us that have done it, just remember it is sure. Christ has paid it all and his resurrection is sure. Are you among the people that can say, I have no condemnation now? In Christ Jesus, no one can bring a charge against me. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. Can you say that? Can you say that? There's no condemnation for me. There's no charge against me. There's nothing will separate me from God in Jesus Christ. I hope you can say that. And if not, you can say it today by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is to condemn? No one. Christ Jesus has died. Yea, rather, he was raised.
Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.